Now, the Bible gives us almost all of the story of Samson. And then when you get to verse 21, this mighty, mighty man of valor, this champion in Israel, has fallen on a very hard times. And here is the beginning of the story of the end of his life. The Bible says the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. But I want to read this next verse. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Please be seated. Now I want us to just think about the background and the account that the Bible gives us of Samson, the 13th judge of Israel. And again, this is all, it's not a history lesson. This is in the Bible so that we cannot just entertain ourselves with the history aspect of it, but to make application to our life today. It's something for us to get a hold of so we can teach this to others also, whether they be family members or friends or what the case may be, to know the truth and be able to convey the truth on this matter as well as others to other people. Now, I'm gonna summarize last Sunday's message like this. Here's what we preached on. Number one, we learned this. An angel appeared to Samson's parents before he was born and told them that he was going to be born and made it very clear that Samson was to live a separated life. His life was to be different from the heathen, idolatrous, and those that were like them or wanted to be like them. Samson was to be raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and in all of his ways he was to communicate that to other people. Samson was born to live a separated life. And I'll say what I said last week. This is what the Bible teaches. All of us who are saved were born to live a separated life. If you're lost, if you haven't been saved, when you get saved, if you get saved, understand this. If you're born again someday, God's intention is for you to live a separated life once you become a Christian. Amen. Won't do you any good to live a separated life before you're a Christian, hoping to, by living a separated life, become a Christian, because you can't live a Christian life until you're a Christian. Amen. But Samson was born to live a separated life. And then we found this out, which runs counter to a lot of worldly wise Christian thinking today. Samson was blessed by living a Christian life. It didn't hurt him to be different from the Philistine children and young men and those around him. He was blessed by living a separated life. And all of you who are Christian, all of us, will be blessed too by living a Christian life. Young boys and girls that are here, don't forget that. You will be blessed if you live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be blessed. It won't hurt you. It will help you. And then thirdly, Samson was beguiled away from living a separated life. Beguiled means he was cheated out of living a separated life. It was his own fault, but he let himself be robbed of the blessings of living a separated life and to go against God's intention for the way he would live all of his life. He allowed himself to be tricked and beguiled and led away from that. And so we see in the Bible Samson being blessed by living a separated life. Remember how he met a lion in the way as a young man, a full-grown, raging lion, and tore it apart like it was a little kitten. And then he ran up against 30 Philistines and was able, empowered by the Spirit of God. And if you look at those accounts in the story of Samson, every one of them begins like this: and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. Now, the Spirit of the Lord wouldn't have been coming upon Samson if he hadn't been living a separated life. And he'll never come upon you like that if you're not living a separated life. You're not going to get victory over the devil if you're not living a separated life. You never will. You may be saved, your name's written in heaven, and you're on your way to heaven, but you will not get victory over the devil in your life if you don't live a separated life, and neither will your children if you don't teach and encourage them to live a separated life. The devil will likely kick them from pillar to post throughout their adult lives. Amen. That's just simple Bible truth. Time after time, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he defeated hundreds of people, ripped up city gates by himself, and carried them up to the top of a hill. And again, this happened. But something led up to this text that where we see the Philistines grappling with Samson. He's as weak now as a kitten himself. They're putting out his eyes. They're throwing him in a dark dungeon, and they're making him serve them like an animal grinding at a mill. It makes you think of the words in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 25, how the mighty have fallen. Some of us are old enough to remember people who at one time were really, really living for God and being blessed. But they got led away. They began to be worldly. At one time, they were living mighty Christian lives, but worldliness was their downfall. How the mighty have fallen. Now, here's what I want to preach on today about Samson. When we look at verse 16 and we see Samson taken and blinded and bound and imprisoned and put to work, here's what we want to see. How this happened. How does this happen? And what happened? Well, let me just make it real clear. It happened because Samson allowed it to happen. It wasn't God's fault. It wasn't his parents' fault. It happened because he allowed it to happen. And if you get robbed and ripped off of God's blessing in your life, and the people dearest to you around you suffer because you've let yourself be robbed and ripped off from living a separated Christian life, you have only yourself to thank for that. This happened to Samson because he allowed it to happen. Now, how did he allow it to happen? Number one, because he allowed himself to become careless. Amen? Have you ever allowed yourself to become careless in any way? He allowed himself to. Now see, beloved, it's the big R right now. Responsibility. Personal responsibility. God says to every individual Christian personally, put off the old man and put on the new man. That's your job. That's my job. God says, resist the devil. You resist him. I'm not going to send a league of angels down to do it for you. You personally have got to resist the devil yourself. God says, study to show thyself approved unto God. You have a responsibility to study and learn the Word of God. You can't depend upon the preacher for that. First and foremost, the responsibility for your learning the Word of God begins with you. It's personal responsibility, you see. The Bible says, you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let this mind be in you. You let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is all about personal responsibility. Samson fell down because he allowed himself to become careless. Are you allowing yourself to become careless to any degree right now? I want you to be truthful. Be truthful with yourself. Are you allowing yourself to become careless about spiritual matters and about the separated life? Now, Samson allowed himself to become careless. He allowed it, when he allowed himself to become careless, in the process, he allowed himself to become carnal. You get careless, before long you'll be carnal. And because of his carelessness, which led to carnality, he allowed himself to become a captive. To become a captive. A child of God, mightily used of God at one time, in a position like this. It can happen to us. Now notice first, he allowed himself to become careless. That just means we need to live carefully. The Bible uses words like this in the context of living carefully. It's to live circumspectly. Circumspectly means to live while you're looking around. To live being prudent and being cautious. And giving careful consideration to the circumstances in your life. And being careful and circumspect in that you are desire to avoid. You don't want to make mistakes. And you want to avoid the bad consequences that come from making mistakes. You've got to live circumspectly, or you'll allow yourself to become careless. In Ephesians chapter 15 and verse 5, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. See what it's compared to? If you and I as Christian people, knowing what we know about God and about the devil and about this world and about our flesh, and if we live carelessly, he says, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Just a reminder, beloved, we are living in especially evil times for Christians, especially evil. We're living in the last days. Paul looked ahead and he wrote this inspired of the Holy Spirit, knowing this first, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Evil men will wax worse and worse. There'll be problems like there's never been on a scale of which it never before happened. So Samson allowed himself to become careless. And the question there is how? How did he allow himself to become careless? Same way Christians do today. Number one, these are the three things. I just barely touched on them last week. Samson became careless in terms of authority that he began to disdain. Are you a disdainer of authority? Are you a child or a young person and you just resent authority? Don't ever get that. You may not be, but you can become that way. The best Christian child here can become that way. Samson began to disdain authority. There had been a time, as we read his story in chapter 13, we learned this right off the bat. There was a time when Samson revered his parents. That means he honored them. He loved them. He respected them. There was a time when Samson revered his parents. That's the way it is with most of the children here today. You revere your parents. I'm looking at you right now, and you're sitting next to parents that you honor and you love and you respect them and you revere them and you obey them. That's the way Samson was when he started out. Now, the Bible says, while he was young and revering his parents, in chapter 13, verse 25, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan. That means he got happy in the Lord as a child, again and again, over and over. He was happy in God as a child. If he had a testimony service, he'd be the first one popping up on his feet saying, I love the Lord God. I love him. I love what I know about him. The Spirit of God wouldn't let him get around that. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Let me just tell you this right quick. That wouldn't have happened if he'd been dishonoring his parents. When I see a child in a church service, it's always been this way with me. When I see a child stand up, or a teenager, somebody stand up and they say, I just want to thank God for my parents. I love my parents. And I know good and well they don't obey their parents. They disrespect their parents. It's all I can do to keep from telling them, just sit down and keep quiet and stop lying. Amen. The Spirit of God would not have come upon Samson at times in the camp of Dan if he hadn't been honoring his parents. That's the commandment, the first commandment, the Bible says, with promise, it's in the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor your mother and your father. If you're a Christian, your main duty is honor your father and mother as you're growing up. Now, let me just say this real quick. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. All of this is from Ephesians chapter 5 in a nutshell there. Children are to honor their father and mother. So as Christian children, God can bless them mightily. Now here's what I say. Parents are going to be held accountable for making it hard for their children to honor them. Moms and dads, you're not supposed to make it hard for your children to honor you. You're supposed to be living in such a life that it's easy for your boys and girls to honor you. And if you make it hard for your children to follow God's commandment and honor you, you are going to be held accountable for that. Amen? You believe that? Amen. Colossians 3 and 21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't live in such a way that as a Christian, it's a bad testimony, it's a disappointment, you're inconsistent, and your child is confused, and they lose all respect for you. Let me just say this, when you're reading in Ephesians and in Colossians, the Bible also teaches this. This is just a parenthesis. This is all free. Husbands are going to be held responsible for making it hard for their wives to submit to them. Amen. Ephesians 5 and 21 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Men, you and I, our business, our part of that is to make it easy for our wives to submit to us. Amen. To make it easy for them to. Not to live so it's hard for them to submit to them because we're mistreating them in some way, we're abusing them in some way, we're just making it hard for them to submit to us. Now the Bible goes on, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands, but in that same verse, the Bible says, wives, love your husbands, or husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. If a husband loves his wife like that, it'll be easy for their wife to submit to him. You say, well, I'm loving my wife like that, and she's not submitted to me for 20 years. Well, I'm going to believe the Word of God. I'm going to suspect that you're really not loving your wife as much like Christ loved the church as you might want people to think you are. Amen? We'll just believe the Word of God on this one. And men are going to be held responsible, and women are going to be held responsible for making it hard for their husbands to love them as Christ loved the church. Did you know there are a lot of Christian women who make it so hard for their husbands to love them? In other words, in all of these examples, people are giving advantage to the devil where other people are concerned. Well, Samson, there was a time in his life when he revered his parents. But then as we read the story of Samson so far, we see that there came a time in his life when he began to rebel against his parents. And that didn't happen overnight. Do you know any children that you've watched them rebel against their parents? It didn't happen overnight. It happened as a result of a steady development. This steady development of a spirit of disdain on the part of Samson for the authority of his parents didn't happen overnight. It happened, it came on like it did and continued like it did because Samson was careless. Now here's that personal responsibility. Samson, I don't know if he was 15, 16, 17, how old he was when all this started, but I do know this, Samson was careless about recognizing the symptoms of that kind of disdain in himself. See, if you're a Christian, you might be a real young Christian. You might be a boy or a girl. But when you see and sense and feel that spirit of disrespect for your parent, you know what you need to do? You need to repent of that. Samson was careless about recognizing that spirit in himself, and he was very, very careless when it came to repenting of that spirit that he found in him, in himself. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if you're doing it right now, if you're disrespecting your parents, if you're disrespecting your parents, you might be disrespecting me right now while I'm preaching. I don't know. But if you are, stop it and listen to this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you're disrespecting your parents, you need to recognize it, admit it, and tell them, I'm sorry. And tell God that you're sorry about it. Now, recognizing symptoms of disdain and disrespect, you say that's a tall order for a child to recognize that in themselves and come to grips with it. It is a tall order for a child to recognize when the spirit is developing in them. Listen to me carefully, parents. It's hard for children to recognize, even if they're Christians, to recognize the spirit. For elementary children and high school children, junior high and middle school and on and on. It's hard for a child, just like for an adult. Imagine how it is for adults. And so, children need help. We got to help them recognize it. Amen. Don't wait for them to do it. Help them recognize when they're being disrespectful. What is the matter with parents today? There's a lot more at stake than you're hurting your child's feelings. There's something going on that the devil wants to fan and use and bring it to the place of our text in chapter 21 or chapter 16 and verse 21. Amen. Children need help. It's a tendency of a child to do what's foolish and not what's wise. Proverbs 22 and 15 says this, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. But let me just say this, beloved, no parent gets off that easy. Well, I'll just get a rod. I'll go down to Home Depot and I'll look at all those doweling rods they got, and I'll pick out a couple of them and use them on my kid. It's not that easy. Let me tell you what 150 years ago somebody wrote on that one proverb. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. This man said by foolishness is to be understood not merely frivolity, levity, and nonsense. Listen carefully. This is what foolishness is talking about. But something greatly more deplorable. The principles of moral evil. That's what you're dealing with, parents. And little children with their foolishness. And teenagers with their foolishness. Is with a principle of moral evil. Of spiritual corruption. It's bound up in the heart of a child. He said it has a firm seat from which it is not easily dislodged. This old timer went on to say, and as to the rod, nothing could be more preposterous than to suppose the rod by itself is meant here. It is the rod as accompanying and contributing to give effect to instruction, admonition, counsel, and prayer. You counsel and instruct and set a good example for your child, and you do all of that. But from time to time, you may have to use the rod a little bit if they're not paying attention. And let me say to young parents today, I wish I had them all here from all over the Western world, you do not pay attention for your child-rearing instruction to what this godless world is teaching today. Do you think people are doing a better job raising children today than they did 100 years ago? Of course not. Amen. I'm trying to help you. You can avoid a world of pain and hurt for yourself and those you love the most if you will listen to what the Word of God says. Amen. And you can change. You say, well, I don't know if I can change. I don't know if my children will let me change. Baloney. You're just a lazy coward. That's what you are if you're going to go down that road. Yeah. So there was this steady development going on in Samson's life. And it was covert for a while. You know, when this is happening with a young person, like it was happening with Samson, it really didn't show up that much. That's the way it works. But by and by, it got to the place where it was beyond steady development, and it turned into a shocking demonstration. Now, you find that in his story in chapter 13, verse 3. There's a shocking demonstration of the spirit of disdain for authority that had been at work in Samson. Because there came a time when this boy that at one time revered his parents openly rebelled against them. It had been covert, but now it's overt. Now it's out in the open. Now they know what they have on their hands. There's that story of how this all came about and exposed was when Samson came to his parents one day and said, there's a Philistine girl not far from here. I know they're pagans. I know they're idolaters, but she is a looker. And I like her. We love each other. And I want you, Dad, to go get her for me. And his parents, who loved them more than life itself, were distressed beyond description. And they tried to reason with him. They tried to talk to him. He owed his life to his mother and his father. They made all kinds of sacrifice for him, like parents do. And as they pleaded and wept and tried to reason with him, he sat there and listened until he could take it no more. And this is exactly what he said. Get her for me. She pleases me well. How would you like one of your children to treat you like that? They're going to. They will do that if they're not already doing it. Amen. If you don't apply what the Word of God is teaching us here in this story. Now, let me say this. Samson's parents' preferences were apparent to him. Would we agree? He knew what they preferred. They said, are there not many daughters of the children of Israel that are believers in God and not all these idols? Aren't there all of these other girls that you could think about and consider? So he knew full well, read the first part of verse 13, what his parents preferred. And let me tell you, children and you parents, here's what's important. Children, it's not what you prefer right now, it's what your parents prefer. And don't even wait until they make it as clear and put it on a flannel graph or tattoo it on your forehead, what they want. Figure out what you think your mom or dad prefer, and then you follow that course. He knew what his parents preferred. But though their preference was apparent to him, his parents' preference was an aggravation to him. Go get her for me. Just shut up and go get her for me, because she pleases me well. What his parents wanted did nothing but aggravate him. This is brought out so clearly in the life of Samson. And when he did that, when that steady development worked itself up into the shocking demonstration of where he was in terms of disdain for his parents, he stepped onto a very, very slippery slope right at that point. Amen. I've seen it again and again and again. Listen, I've lived long enough to see children get married and have children, and those children get married and have their own children, and to watch what happens in hundreds and hundreds of situations with parents and children. I've lived long enough to see that this is exactly bona fide, that a young person who is allowed to get to the place where they treat their parents like this, they have gotten on dangerous ground. Proverbs 1 and verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." It doesn't matter if you like it or not. "For they shall be an ornament of grace." This spirit will be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Now Samson, the first place he became careless was in authority that he disdained. Let me just tell you a really good supplement to put that healthy spirit in your child, to ward off disdain for authority. Teach them to respect older people. Amen. And when, for example, they're walking through the church and there's some spiritual authority around, it's not the overall authority of everybody's life, just your spiritual authority. Teach your children not to treat him like he's the invisible man. Are you following my teaching? That's not for his sake, that's for their sake, and you'll find out it's also for your sake. You got to ward off this spirit of disdain for authority. But he became careless in another way. He became careless in terms of his associations he began to desire. I'm not going to say much about this because I said a lot last time. But chapter 14 and in verse 11 tells us this. And I want you folks to pay really close attention to this. Chapter 14, verse 11. "It came to pass, Samson has gone on down to this town where all these Philistines are. And the Bible says, when they got there, man, there was a crowd of these Philistine young men waiting for him." That's the way it works. "And Samson said unto them," or rather verse 11, "it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him." Can you imagine that? Here comes this young man out of a godly home and he gets down there to this town and all of a sudden, radar. I could just tell you, numbers of pastors and youth pastors could tell you, you go to camp, people are coming from all over the nation. Kids are popping off buses and getting out of cars. They've never seen each other, most of them, except the kids, and they're not familiar with anybody except the kids that came in from their own church. Seen it again and again, Brother Clyde. And the rebellious, smart-alecky kids will gravitate like there's magnets on them to one another. It's a phenomena. It's like there is an antenna that begins going off right away looking for people of the same spirit that they are. That's what's happening here. 30 of these Philistine young people come in to lock in an association with Samson if they can, and they find out that they could. Look at how soon these companions met him. Now think about that sentence I just said. How soon these bad companions met their son. If you're not raising your children according to the Word of God, when they get in school, off to school, it's not going to be long until the bad spirits. Amen. They are going to look your child up. If you've raised a little smart aleck, somebody with a bad attitude, as soon as they're going to gravitate to him. And it's going to get worse as they get older. They're going to pick up worse and worse companion. You see how soon they met him. And after they met him, you see how soon it was that they began to make merchandise of him. Read that chapter when you get home in chapter 14. they're playing a game together. They're playing around together, and Samson tells them a riddle, and they got a little bet going on, and Samson's girlfriend sells him out so that he loses all of his money to these people. You get to verse 18, Samson knows what's going on. He said, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you had not found out my riddle. See how this girl and these boys are treating him already? That's what they're going to do to yours if they're not already doing it. Now, Samson became careless in terms of attitudes. Attitudes that he started to take on. Number one, he developed a very prideful attitude. Amen. You cannot allow your children to have a prideful attitude. You can't allow it. You're responsible for them. Proverbs 16 and 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You want your child to be destroyed? You want him to fall? You want him to become a mess? I was visiting yesterday and talking to people and talking to different people in the past week. It's so sad. Children, young adults now, they're living in a nursing home facility that's really made for old people and sick people. But drugs and alcohol and this and that has so messed them up. They're not even 30 years old yet, and they're warehoused like that. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. He developed a prideful attitude. He was careless about his attitude. Watch your attitude. And children need help with their attitude. My mother and my father, my aunts and my uncles helped me and my cousins with our attitude, believe me. They helped us. We rolled our eyes and we got yanked into the hallway and given a talking to at best. This eye-rolling business out of a kid to an adult to a parent. Hey, man, you want to walk up and do like this on the parent's head? Is anybody home? Look what's happening. So he developed a presumptuous attitude. See, he's like a Christian who thinks they can live this way and continue to have God's blessing on their life. And that's why when the Philistines came to arrest him, he said, I'll just get up and do what I've always done. But he wist not, the Bible says, that the spirit had departed from him. A presumptuous attitude. I can live like this and do this, and it's going to be okay. Mom, don't bother me. I know what I'm doing. Dad, just, you know what? Mind your own business. It'll be all right. Don't worry about it. A presumptuous attitude that says, you may not be able to play with fire and not get burnt, but I can, I can, I can. That's a presumptuous attitude. Psalms 19 and 13 says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, and then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent. But you're not going to be upright or innocent or have upright or innocent children if you allow them to have a presumptuous attitude. So Samson allowed himself, number one, don't be thinking about last Sunday and getting scared. He allowed himself to become careless, and number two, because of that, he allowed himself to become carnal. Now, let's say that there's some Christian sitting in here right now, and you've listened to all of this, and you say, right down the line, I can see that I have allowed myself to become careless. But I'm not going to change anything, really. Well, then you're going to get more and more carnal. That's the way that works. In Romans 8 and 6, the Bible says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, let me tell you what happens to people when they get carnal. That's where the word carnival comes from. That's where you go to get a thrill for your flesh. That's where the word carnivorous comes from. A carnivorous animal is a flesh eating animals. It's all about flesh. Here's what happens to people as they get carnal. It's right here in the life of Samson. In time, his carnality would make him become witless. In other words, he couldn't even use good sense. You see it in his story. I looked up the word witless so I could tell you what Webster said and not say it my own self. Webster says this is what witless means. It means to be foolish. This is not just for carnal kids. It's for carnal adults. Witless means to be foolish, stupid. It's a state in which one cannot think clearly or rationally. A worldly Christ, that's what a worldly Christian is. That's where they get to some degree or another. That's where some of those people were in the church of Corinth, and Paul had to write to them and say this to them in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1. He said, I could not, brethren, they're Christians, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. Let me quote that again and say something about that. Paul says, as a pastor, preacher, etc., brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual. I had to struggle and strive and speak unto you as carnal, even as babes in Christ. Here's what he's saying there. If you're a carnal, if you got carnality and worldliness in your life, you're not going to be able to get what comes from this pulpit. That's why you listen to it and forget all about it. That's why you see the very things happening that I'm talking about, and you don't do a thing. It's because carnality leads to witlessness. Amen. And in time, his carnality would make him weaponless. Now, the Bible says put on the whole armor of God. But worldly Christians don't do that. Amen? And so they become defenseless. A worldly Christian is in danger of not only becoming spiritually dense, but spiritually defenseless. And we got an enemy out there. Our enemy, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There are all of these bad people. They're lost. They're just looking for someone to mess up their life. 1 Corinthians 10 and 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. They're not carnal. Our weapons aren't carnal. They're spiritual. But spiritual blessings don't come to worldly people. Samson's weapon was the infusion of the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. But he's just about to lose all of that. Now, carnality just affects our ability for discernment and to defend ourselves spiritually, which is our responsibility. Samson's carnality is seen in two ways. I'll mention three. Here's how you see his carnality. Number one, and see if this rings a bell with you or any of your one you know. His carnality seen in the leanings toward which he became inclined. Leaning means this. Are my leanings to be around God's people, go to church? Are my leanings spiritual in nature? Or are my leanings material, temporal, carnal, and world? Which way do I lean? If there's an opportunity to be part of a spiritual service and blessing, like a revival meeting or something like that, or to be in my church, is that my leaning? Do I lean that way? Or, hey, somebody just gave me tickets to the ball game. I got free tickets to the amusement park. And since that's the way I lean, no big secret what's going to happen. This was a very dangerous thing when he allowed himself to be carnal because, and it's seen in his leanings. Way back in the book of Deuteronomy, God said to his people, learn not the way of the heathen. Because if you learn the ways of the heathen, then you're going to start leaning that way. Now, it's also seen in the lifestyle that he adopted. See, if you start leaning that way, the next thing is it takes over your lifestyle. In Jeremiah 10 and 2, the Bible says, I meant to give you this verse a while ago, learn not the way of the heathen. I already said that. But his lifestyle is affected because he learned the way of the heathen. But his leanings were affected because he went right against what the Bible teaches in Proverbs 3, verse 5, lean not to your own understanding. Don't lean to your own understanding if it conflicts with the Word of God, with what's really right. Don't lean to your own understanding. This is what Samson did. He started to identify with this lifestyle of the heathen, and he started to lean in the wrong ways. And then the third thing about it, his carnality is seen in his indulgement of his flesh. He saw these women. Yeah. And so his lust, he just indulged them more and more, one after another. And finally, he winds up with this woman, Delilah. That's where it led him. She's the worst of the batch. He indulged his lust. He'd been identifying with the lifestyle of the heathen, and he'd been inclining in the wrong ways. Did you ever read it in the New Testament, in one of Timothy's letters to Timothy? It says, flee youthful lust. Do you know why it says that? Because there are youthful lusts to flee. Youth have certain lusts that old people don't have. They're very, very dangerous. And Samson didn't flee them. He embraced them. And he knew better. He had godly parents. Remember, it's personal responsibility. It can happen to anybody. He knew better. He was like one of these people today that listened to preaching. They listened to good preaching and teaching. They know better. And then they go right on out there and ignore the preaching and teaching and they get. Because they're too smart for their own good. Now, I'm going to close with this. Because he allowed himself to become careless and he allowed himself to become carnal, here's what happened. He allowed himself to become a captive. Amen. He allowed himself to become a captive. He became a casualty in the spiritual warfare that we're all in. The list of spiritual casualties is so long. It stretches from here all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And it's getting longer. It'll be longer than ever by the time I get done preaching this message. We're all in a spiritual war. We can all become casualties, and Samson became a casualty. Because he got careless, more and more carnal. It's right here in the Bible. You don't have to make any of this up. The definition of a war casualty involves three things. You're a casualty of war if you get killed. You're a casualty of war if you get wounded. You're a casualty of war if you get taken captive. If you become a POW, a prisoner of war. Samson became a POW, prisoner of war. And one thing good about it, beloved, we're Christians, the devil can't kill us. But he can wound us. Can't be killed, but we can be wounded. Samson got wounded. In Proverbs 18 and 14, he brought it all on himself. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? He had to live with it. Psalm 38 and 5, the psalmist said when he was in a state of a backslidden, unspiritual state, he said, "My wounds stink and they're corrupt because of my foolishness." The devil can't kill us, but he can wound us and he can take us captive. Jeremiah 13 and 17 says, see, I'm saved. When I was overseas in Vietnam, I wasn't out in the battlefield, but I sure could have been taken captive many times. In fact, first night I was there, I think they were trying to get me. The reason is because I got one of these little pedicab drivers. Eric, you ever seen them overseas? You've been over there. I'm 17 years old, and I hop up in that pedicab in Saigon, and I'm not paying any attention. I'm looking at all this French architecture and everything, and the next thing I know, we're getting further and further and further out of town. And I hadn't heard the stories yet, but that's how they'd been taking a lot of Americans fresh off the plane or the boat. They'd get them out of town. The next time you saw them, you'd see their head sticking on a stake. And I thought I knew what was happening, and I grabbed those wheels, and I won't tell you what the rest of that I did, but I got away. That's the most important part of the story. But I was an American. If they'd taken me a captive and thrown me in prison, I'd still been an American. Did you know the devil can take you captive even if you're a Christian? Yeah. And that's what happened to Samson. In Jeremiah 13 and 17, the Bible says, "But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride." Here's Jeremiah preaching like this. He said, "And mine eye will weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive." The Lord's flock. You're the flock. We're the flock that could be carried away captive. In Psalm 137, verse 3, "For there they carried us away captive." They that carried us away captive required of us a song. They wanted to have some fun out of them, like they're going to have out of Samson. "And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion," after they got them captive. Then they made sport of them. In 2 Timothy 2 and 26, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him." 2 Timothy 3 and 6 says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust." These things are happening. So Samson became a prisoner of war. In verse 16, he's blinded. When you get taken captive, I'll say more about it this afternoon, but you don't see. Once the devil gets you captive, you just can't see like you used to see. Your spiritual eyes are gone. In Proverbs 5 and verse 20, "And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He'll die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray." The Bible says they not only, verse 21, put out his eyes, but they bound him with fetters of brass. You Bible students know this. Brass in the Bible stands for judgment. Verse 21 goes on and closes with this. "Blinded and bound, he did grind in the prison house." Now his eyes are not what they once had been. Now he's restrained and confined. Now he's grinding in the devil's prison house. That'll help you understand the psalmist when he saw himself getting into that condition. Psalm 74 and 77 and 4, he said, I'm so troubled, I cannot speak. Listen, if you're into worldliness as a Christian, you ought to be so troubled it's hard for you to even speak. Psalm 38 and 4, the psalmist said, mine iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they're too heavy for me. That's the way it is with a worldly Christian. Now, if you're not saved, you're just a professed Christian, you can lap the world up and wallow in it, and it won't bother you a bit. But we're talking about somebody who's really saved, has been taken captive. Job 7 and 20, Job said, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set a mark against me so that I am a burden to myself? Do you know a Christian can get that way? Where that your worldliness has not just taken its toll on you, but it's taken its toll on others who've been under your influence and dependent on you. And you'll come to the place where you'll see it all and you'll look back and you'll look around and you'll say, it's just too heavy a burden for me to bear. Next time you are reminded about this worldly, rock and roll, have a blast, Burger King mentality, Christianity, have it your way, you remember what God says about it, about Samson and the separated life. Can a person get out of that? Can they have a victory after getting where he's got? The answer is yes. And we'll talk about it this afternoon, the Lord willing. Don't be a worldly Christian. We all got some worldliness we have to contend with. We all do. It's a struggle. But friend, don't. It's like quicksand. Don't just kick around, piddle around, because it'll pull you deeper and deeper and deeper the longer you stay there. You want to fight like crazy and do everything and reach out for anything that'll help pull you out of that state of worldliness. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together.